And we just hit literally just the debt clock just went over 37 trillion big ones.
Oh, boy. Come on, Tara. I can't take much more of this.
Well, I know. And that's what makes it so stunning that this spending plan puts us on track to hit 60 trillion by 2035. $60 trillion. I know I keep playing this audio, but Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business, who I trust, she took a pretty good job, lays this out for Kevin Hassett. Again, he is the head of Trump's economic council and one of Trump's chief surrogates, whose job it is to sell the big, beautiful bill. He doesn't deny it. He just says, well, if we can grow at 3%, we'll bring in $4 trillion more than the budget office is projecting. And so it's not going to be as bad as you think.
This 10-year expectation that we're going to have deficits of $2.2 trillion a year and debt of almost $60 trillion by 2035.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score, which means that already the deficit's going down by trillions. The CBO has told us that the tariffs that are already in place, President Trump's tariffs that are already in place, are going to give us extra revenue of $2.8 trillion over 10 years. And the DOGE cuts, people forget about the DOGE cuts. They don't count in the big, beautiful bill because you can't have discretionary spending in a reconciliation package. We've now accumulated DOGE cuts that we can send to the House and the Senate to send back and to give the people their money back of $160 billion. That's almost $2 trillion. Over 10 years. And so this is the biggest deficit reduction, the most fiscally responsible package in the history of American fiscal policy.
Yeah.
And so anybody who claims to speak for fiscal responsibility and opposes this bill and our actions is just pushing partisan propaganda.
Again, Lee, as I've said repeatedly the last few days, the key part is this.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score.
Again, if anyone can do it, it's Trump. I'm not saying he can't, but maintaining that when the average has been 2 to 2.2 over the last 20 years, I just don't see it.
Well, and then you've got to, that's the big if Trump can get it done. But the problem is he needs some assistance from somebody, like the Fed chief, who is, let's say, recalcitrant at nothing less than to lower interest rates.
He's a saboteur. Is what he is. Well, he's a partisan hack.
I was trying to be objective, but yeah, you're right.
No, he's a partisan hack. I mean, this is a hijacking. It's absolutely terrible.
And for historical reference here, he did lower interest rates right before the election.
Yeah, no, and this is the same guy who kept interest rates low. Remember when Joe Biden wanted to print $1 trillion extra every quarter? And he said, no, the inflation's not going to get any worse. No, it's going to be that we were at almost 5%, then it went to 9. And he didn't raise rates until he was forced to until we got to the 9. He kept them low to keep the real estate industry alive.
Now, that's why Trump, in his recent criticism, was once again talking about how he is always late to the party.
Exactly. And we got this other problem, and this is what's freaking Trump out and correctly so, at the level that it's freaking him out. And that's because we have got to refinance a substantial portion of our debt. And Jerome Powell wants it done at high interest rates. Basically, it'll force the federal government to bleed money. It'll cause the bond market to wobble, maybe crash, because it's literally that scary. Powell knows that, and he knows he's already building the case to turn around and pretend Trump's tariffs did it. Because Powell is just an evil man and a liar. And unfortunately, Trump appointed him. So another really terrible appointee that's blown up in Trump's face. Here's Cheryl Cassoni. She explains this really well on Fox Business.
One of the arguments that President Trump has made is that if you look at the interest rates story around the world, other banks in particular, if you look at Europe, they've been lowering rates while the United States has actually stood pat. So let's look at some of the world central bank rates around the world. Look. at this. Switzerland is at 0.25%, with Japan 0.5%, and then Denmark is less than 2%. The U.S. stands at 4.5%. So I'll leave you with this. We've got about $9 trillion that has to be refinanced of U.S. debt in the next year. That gets refinanced at the higher interest rate. So when he talks about billions of dollars being lost, that's what President Trump is talking about right now.
Yeah, he's doing it on purpose. And even more offensive, he's spinning the lie, and it's been shown to be a lie now, that the tariffs cause inflation. He started telling this lie in March. And where is it? Where's the inflation?
Yeah, things keep heading downward.
Yeah, so he is creating a crisis so he can then fulfill the crisis, fulfill the prophecy by saying, hey, look, it's Trump's tariffs. He knows that's not the case. He's trying to win the midterms for the Democrats is what he's trying to do. Because he's a Democrat, and he doesn't care if nobody can sell a darn house and nobody in the middle class can buy one.
You mean he's using economic policy to try and influence an election, Tara?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's a bad guy, not a good guy. So we need to get somebody else. I honestly, though, I don't know if I want Scott Bessent as Treasury Secretary because he's so darn good at what he does right now that, like, I don't – he's Treasury Secretary right now. I mean, Fed Chairman.
Yeah.
Because he'd have to rein in a lot of what he's doing. You know, he can't be working with Trump every day on tariff deals. I just think he's done an amazing job. But
yeah. No, I agree. There's got to be somebody else there. But please keep Bessent where he is. Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy's got to go. It's incredibly rude of him to stay put. His term ends in, I think, May 26. Trump has said, I want to show you the door. You're not doing a good job. You can demonstrate that he's a partisan hack, and he's refusing to leave. So this is a hijacking at this point. And it's a problem. Now, meanwhile, I want to get this in real quick, just another subject, but earlier on in the show, you heard Xi Van Fleet, she lived through the communist revolution. She watched a lot of people die. And she talked about this started not with the peasants, not at the apprenticeship school, she said, but Beijing University. It started in our universities, the Communist Revolution. And she was talking about the importance of combating it. And look what's going on. This needed to happen. The DOJ, Department of Justice, formally finds Harvard violated civil rights laws, which they did, both in ignoring the Supreme Court ruling against using race for admissions, which is one of the things they're being warned about in this letter, Lee, but also in their abject, outright persecution of Jewish students. It's so in your face. It's disgusting. And one of the things that the letter mentions, and this is among so many other things, there are two students that physically attacked a Jew, a known Jewish student on campus because he's an advocate. They hit him, they spit on him, and they mocked him with Heil Hitler. I mean, just absolute in-your-face harassment and anti-Semitism.
Well, if you destruct that, it's assault. Assault, yeah. And battery.
Well, yeah. And here's the thing. Sorry about my phone going off. Here's the thing. The local police tried to prosecute it.
Yeah.
And Harvard police, which answer to the administration, would not assist, which is why it wasn't prosecuted. And those two students were not punished, were not expelled, while the school sent letters to Jewish students, sent an email out suggesting that they maybe go to school online because it wasn't safe on campus.
Well, I guess they got their pronouns right, so.
Well, that's the important thing. And even worse than that, the other thing that is the problem, the letter points out, while the Jewish students who actually students on the campus, they paid tuition, were told to stay home, they allowed these pro-intifada, kill the Jews, violent, vile protesters who were not students, a lot of them, to put up tents on campus and harass the Jewish students who were, while telling them to stay home. I mean, you can't get more in your face with your anti-Semitism than that. And Trump has to break the back of this. This cannot become the norm. Because let me tell you what, they will move on to Christians so fast your head will spin. We already saw this with Antifa in Washington. I remember we had a peaceful Christian protest in a park, very peaceful, very loving, surrounded by Antifa thugs with the backing of the mayor. They'll come for us. They get the idea they can go for Jews. They'll come for us too. And so Trump is saying, and this is amazingly, I mean, this is, wow, throw down the gauntlet. If you don't shape up and comply with our demands, and so far they haven't, no more federal funding for you. No more. J.D. Vance wins or whoever comes next, that's a long time to go without federal funding. And the letter says, hey, you know, if you want to take the Hillsdale College route, Hillsdale doesn't take any federal money and they can do whatever they want. They can go Jew bash all day if they want on their campus,
which
I guess.
They would never do.
Not Hillsdale, but Harvard would.
Yeah, well, yeah, they are.
You know, fine, but you can't have any federal money to do it with. Harvard is whining like a stuck pig.
They have billions in their endowment.
Yeah, really. And so good. I'm glad that the Trump DOJ is not backing down on this. Strip them of every last penny. Humiliate them. This cannot take root on the left. There has to be a cost.